welcome. It's KBC Arts, arts and entertainment in our region and the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. Tonight we'll hear from Chip Davis, creator of Mannheim Steamroller, which will be at the Fox Performing Arts Center December 15th, with tickets at kbcrnews.org/events. We'll start tonight with more on an upcoming conference of, by, and for the arts.
You're listening to KVC Arts. I'm Rick Dulock, and my guest today is Danielle Wallace, Arts Connection Executive Director. We're going to be talking about the 2017 Arts Connection Annual Conference. It takes place at Copper Mountain College in Joshua Tree on Saturday, September 30th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. with some extras after 3 p.m. It promises to be an inspiring day of presentations, discussions, and workshops about creative placemaking, cultural arts planning, professional practices, and community-based art. If you want to find out more information and you won't be with us for the entire interview, find out more at artsconnectionnetwork.org. Danielle, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
Can you describe for our listeners what Arts Connection is?
Arts Connection is the Arts Council for San Bernardino County. We are about 4 years old now. We were created as an umbrella to support existing organizations and artists that are here in the Inland Empire. We try to do our best to share knowledge and resources to do community building through the arts. We support, promote, and advocate for the arts within the county.
Excellent. And all kinds of arts, from writing to painting to pottery.
Yes, multidisciplinary.
Excellent. Well, there's a lot to talk about, but let's start with the conference itself. Is this an event with breakout sessions, with different things to choose from at different times, or will every attendee experience the same meetings and gatherings? Can you go over the day with us?
Sure. Our conference, which we do annually, it's set up so that the morning sessions will be all together. We'll start out with a welcome from Catherine Irvin, our board chair, and then we'll have an overview of the day with Sant Khalsa, who's been my co-chair on the conference. And then we'll go to opening remarks with Juan Devis, who is chief creative officer from KCET Link Media Group. We're really excited to have him there. Then we'll be doing a panel discussion. Bernard Leibov from Boxo Projects and Joshua Triennial is our moderator for that. And we have a number of really interesting artists representing organizations in the Joshua Tree area, including Barnett English, who runs the Joshua Tree Music Festival and the Joshua Tree Living Arts Program. Rebecca Lowry from Joshua Tree Art Innovation Laboratory, which is in partnership with the Joshua Tree National Park. Cheryl Montell, who runs Mill Tree, a veterans arts organization, and Desert Stories, which is a spoken word event. Eva Soltz from Harrison House Music Arts and Ecology, and Vanessa Zandejas from High Desert Test Sites and A to Z West. After lunch, we're doing a planning for the future session, and there's two initiatives coming to the Morongo Basin region. One is for arts and culture planning, and the other is for active transportation planning, which will also have an arts engagement element to it. We're hoping to insert arts and culture into that process. So cultural planning group will be leading the first session. And then we're going to have KOA planning come and talk about the active transportation plan that's going to also happen out in the Morongo Basin area. And we're serving as a sub-consultant on both of those plans. And then we're going to do some professional practice breakout sessions after that.
So there will be breakout sessions, but that doesn't start until the afternoon.
Yeah, breakout sessions will start at 2 p.m. Our professional practice sessions is what we're calling them, and we have five different sessions, one for writers with Katie Porter, who is the executive director and also a poet and a mom. She's over at Inlandia Institute, which serves the Inland Empire. She'll be leading that and talking about how to get your work published.
Okay.
We have a theater session with David Catanzarite from Green Room Theater, an arts administrator session with Michelle Skiljohn from the Women's Business Center, a music session with Gene Ivaro Jr., who's a musician, singer-songwriter in the Joshua Tree area, also a producer, and a visual arts session with artist and educator Sant Khalsa, who's recently retired from Cal State San Bernardino.
Very good. You're listening to KVC Arts. I'm Rick Dulock. My guest today is Danielle Wallace, Arts Connection Executive Director. We're talking about the 2017 Arts Connection Annual Conference at Copper Mountain College in Joshua Tree. It takes place on Saturday, September 30th. It's from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Information and registration is online at artsconnectionnetwork.org. Well, in addition to the topics covered within the conference, guests at the conference, and I believe they pay a registration fee. If you're part of Arts Connection, it's $25.
Correct.
If you're part of an organization that is part of Arts Connection, it's $25. If you're not affiliated with Arts Connection in any way but are interested in the conference, it's a $50 fee to come to the conference. Now, after the conference, which ends right around 3 o'clock, there will be some tours, all within a short drive from the conference site. These include a tour of Harrison House Music, Arts, and Ecology with Ava Soltis, and that's at 3:30 p.m. Tell us about that.
So the Harrison House tour is with Eva Soltz, who's the executive director. She's giving a private tour of the house, which is a straw bale building that Lou Harrison, a legendary composer, built out in Joshua Tree. There's a newly constructed centennial entry gate made from repurposed Oakland San Francisco Bay Bridge steel girders built by Mark Bullwinkle. So that's really new, and she's excited to share that with folks and show people what's going on out there.
And that's like a welding project, I guess, that somebody did, putting this steel that was used in a bridge before in making a gate.
It is. They actually put out a call to artists who wanted to bid and repurpose the steel.
And so then they got designs and they picked one and then it was created.
Right. And shipped it down here to the Joshua Tree area.
Well, that should be interesting. And that tour starts 30 minutes after the end of the regular part of the conference. That's at 3:30 p.m. There is a $10 charge per person for that tour.
The next tour is A to Z West, which is Andrea Zittel's home and studio tour. And A to Z West is really kind of focused on designs for living and investigating the relationship that we have with things and place within our culture.
And that's at 4 p.m. At 4:30, Noah Purifoy Foundation's Outdoor Museum. Tell us about that.
That tour will be led by Kathy Allen, who actually worked with him as a studio assistant and later as a colleague. His outdoor museum, he's deceased, he passed away in 2004, but the Noah Purifoy Foundation keeps the site running. It's full of his work, these large-scale assemblage sculptures, and some of your listeners might remember he had a large show at the LACMA a couple years ago.
At the LA County Museum of Art.
Yes.
And that tour is $10 per person. The next thing that's going to be happening is at 5:45 p.m., and that is a sound bath at the Integratron in Landers. That's $35 per person. Tell us about that.
So the Integratron sound bath is, they call it on their website, it's kindergarten nap time for grown-ups. And it's supposed to be a super relaxing sound bath where you're lying on the floor in this incredible dome structure. I'm not sure when it was built, but it was built by George Van Tassel. And it was, I believe, to communicate with alien beings and forces other than human. I'm not sure how
and
to say that.
And it was left for the rest of us to go and enjoy a sound bath.
Yes, it's supposed to be deeply resonant and very relaxing.
That tour is $35 per person. That's at 5:45 p.m. Then there's a tour of First World with Bobby First. That's at 6 p.m. It's a $10 fee for that tour. Tell us about that.
So First World, spelled with U's, that's Bobby First's compound that he constructed out in Joshua Tree area. It's just an amazing wonderland of assemblage sculpture. It's a gallery space. It's a performance space. It's beautiful. I've never said that about a Quonset hut before, but this place is breathtakingly beautiful.
Very nice. Let's run through them one more time really quickly. A tour of Harrison House Music, Arts, and Ecology with Eva Soltz. That's at 3:30 p.m., $10 per person for that tour. A tour of Andrea Zittel's A to Z West at 4 p.m., $35 per person. A tour of the Noah Purifoy Foundation's Outdoor Museum with artist Kathy Allen at 4:30 p.m., $10 per person. And a sound bath at the Integratron in Landers at 5:45 p.m., and that tour also $35 per person. And finally, a tour of First World with Bobby First at 6 p.m., and that is $10 per person. It's all happening following the 2017 Arts Connection Annual Conference at Copper Mountain College in Joshua Tree, which is taking place on Saturday, September 30th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. My guest, Danielle Wallace, Arts Connection Executive Director. And one more time, the fee to go to the conference itself, $25 if you're affiliated with Arts Connection or one of their partners, $50 if you're not affiliated but you're interested in going to the conference. And then the tours follow the conference also on September 30th. Danielle, have we left anything out that you wanted to share with our listeners?
Rick, I'd like to add that all of our tours are fundraisers for Arts Connection. We are a 501c3. So this is one way where we can raise money for the organization and the programming that we do. And, you know, a huge thank you to all of the tours for offering their services and sites.
Excellent. And I think on all of the tours, registration is limited. They can only fit a certain amount of people per tour because they're set times. So advance payment is required. You can find out more about the conference. You can register and find out more about Arts Connection itself at artsconnectionnetwork.org. That's artsconnectionnetwork.org. You'll find phone numbers and emails where you can get a hold of Danielle if you have any questions. You can find out about Arts Connection, the 2017 conference on September 30th, and about all the tours and the great places in Joshua Tree with wonderful, beautiful art and this great event that's coming up. Thank you, Danielle, for coming in today to KVC Arts.
Thanks, Rick.
You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR. I'm David Fleming. For the remainder of the program now, it's conversation with Chip Davis, creator of Mannheim Steamroller. We'll be talking about Mannheim Steamroller, of course, but I want to lead in like this. I really would have never expected a person studying bassoon and percussion in college to come out with songs celebrating a fictional trucker. If folks don't know what that is just yet, and do fight the urge to Google this, we will address this fairly soon. But first, I had to hear about his earliest piece, the one he wrote for Stormy.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Yes, I was about 11 years old, and I wrote that for my dog, Stormy. He had to be put down because he had some serious problems. And it moved my heart so much that the only way I could express how I felt was on the piano, so I wrote a piece for him.
And it was a full four-piece chorale, do I understand
that
right?
Yes, it was a four-piece chorale, like sort of in the genre of like a church hymn, which is a four-piece chorale.
Right. Wow, gosh, an 11-year-old thinking in those terms. You had been studying for quite some time by then, though.
Well, at 4 years old, I started taking piano lessons from my grandmother because I come from a family of musicians. Both of my grandmothers were piano teachers, and both of my parents went to the University of Michigan in music, and which is where I ended up going. So I grew up around music all the time, and I was playing the piano from 4 or 5 years old, and I guess by the time I was 11, I was getting to the point where emotionally I could express myself with it.
Wow. And you continued on with music, right? Going through college, you said also at Michigan there?
Yes, it's a fabulous music school, and I did just give the music school for their new, they have a new wing, $1 million for the Chip Davis Technology Suite to be able to buy the equipment and things that we use to compose today with computers and mixing. The combination of computer-generated samples and live music. So there are booths there that, you know, we can have violin players playing along with a track that's already pre-recorded and so forth. So I'm really, really grateful that my career has gotten to the point where I can give back to my college.
Oh, nice. Yes, yes. And this is something, gosh, I really hope that the students that are going there, I hope they don't take it for granted. You know, just a few years down the road, we'll have people that will have just known it as is instead of what was given just fairly recently.
You know, I hear exactly what you're saying, and I guess to some degree, it kind of doesn't matter as long as they're getting the education, which was the purpose behind giving the donation.
You had quite an extensive early career, I mean, even before getting to college. But going into where folks will know you from, they know you as Mannheim Steamroller. But let's go into your early pop hits. Tell me about the transition from touring with a choir, the Norman Ludoff Choir. So you ended up, though, in Omaha, Nebraska, writing jingles at an ad agency. So tell me the story.
Yeah, I was an outside supplier and worked in a studio called Sound Recorders, and then my clients were various creative directors at the agency.
Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Benny. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we've got us a convoy.
This surprised me so much when I read this. You're Chip Davis, the Mannheim Steamroller guy. And I knew Convoy when I was, well, 12, 13.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, oh my gosh, it was so big. And then even the movie later on.
Yes. Well, you know, I was about 27 years old at that stage of my life. And one of my clients at the ad agency was a guy named Bill Fries, who ended up becoming a wonderful lifetime friend. Bill is a creative director and came up with the concept of this trucker that delivered bread all over northern, like, Iowa and Nebraska, called Old Home Bread. And so we had jingles and things like that. Well, we decided to string them together and make a record of it because the jingles were so popular. Well, the record started selling in jukeboxes, and then the next thing we knew, we got a call from Jimmy Bowen at MGM wanting to sign us for a deal. So that was pretty crazy, you know. Here's a guy, me, classically trained bassoon player, jingle writer, never knew anything about country music, didn't really want to know anything about country music. 1976, I become country music writer of the year, and like, holy cow, how'd that happen? But the fabulous part was we did have a lot of fun writing those tracks, and I made a fairly large amount of money at an early age, which allowed me to really get American Gramophone Records going, my own label.
Okay,
and then Mannheim Steamroller was the outgrowth of that, which I might mention, many of the Steamroller players were in the C.W. McCall Country Band as well.
Okay, that's really cool.
One time we opened for ourselves. A promoter called and said, hey, the front act canceled. Do you know anybody can do it? I said, oh, yeah, probably. So we went out as Mannheim Steamroller and played 20 minutes and went back, changed costumes, put on blue jean jackets, and went out as a country band. And I don't think they got it. It was the same guys.
Oh, wow. That's the best. That is great. Now, C.W. McCall, was the name completely made up, or is this based on anyone or anything in particular?
No, Bill just made it up.
Okay, okay.
I used to call him Willie, so sometimes we tell people it stood for Chip and Willie, but it was just a made-up name as far as I know. It was about a guy who delivered bread and would go to these various restaurants and different places to deliver bread, and sort of he had a love affair going with a girl named Mavis, and she'd go ride around with him sometimes in his truck, and then there was a dog named Sloan, and it was a whole cool, like, soap opera deal.
It was the birth of the rubber duck.
Well, yeah, that was the seventh. We had 13 number one country hits, but Convoy was a crossover into every medium. I mean, it's enormous. Yeah, Breaker Breaker 1-9, this here's the rubber duck.
Yep, yes indeed.
Copy me, 10-4.
Come on. That's Chip Davis, creator of Mannheim Steamroller, which will be at the Fox Performing Arts Center December 15th with tickets at kvcrnews.org/events. I'm David Fleming with you for KVC Arts. You mentioned that it was because of all of that that earned you enough money to get going what became Mannheim Steamroller. Or did Mannheim Steamroller already exist? You just didn't have the funds yet to get it going? When did all this kind of come about?
Yeah, Mannheim Steamroller, I was starting to record with a couple of those same players on my first album called Fresh Air. And I was able to afford to do that because I was making this money from the McCall country hits. And then another thing I was doing was trading studio time for time to record my own stuff. So I would do jingles for the studio for nothing in trade for giving me maybe $1,000 worth of time.
Oh, cool.
You know, we were kind of bartering and trading, and any way I could get my own album done. So Fresh Air was the first one, 1974.
So that was actually before Convoy.
Oh, yeah. The Old Home, Fill Her Up and Keep on a Truck and Cafe.
Yep.
The first McCall hit would have been almost in the same year. Same guy.
Okay.
Just crazy.
Okay.
Man,
okay.
I'm on one hand, McCall on the other.
I guess the truly amazing part is folks knowing you for one and not the other, or not recognizing that you're the other. Yeah, yeah.
So we crashed the gate doing 98. I says, let them truckers roll 10-4. Well, mercy sakes, good buddy, we're going to back on out of here, so keep the bugs off your glass and the bears off your tail. We'll catch you on the flip-flop. This here's a rubber duck on the side. We gone. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Why, by the way, I've known and even loved a few music majors in my time, so why Mannheim Steamroller as a name? Not even the music major will know this nowadays.
Yeah, well, I learned it as a music major, actually, at
Michigan.
Yeah,
right.
In music history, a translated term from German is Mannheim Waltz, and in 1749, a composer named Johann Stamitz, he was a contemporary of Mozart, came up with this concept of dynamics, of getting louder. So the Mannheim Waltz translated as the Mannheim Roller. Then it started being called the Steamroller. It's actually a classical music term that means crescendo.
Okay. Nice. Thank you. Love to hear about the Fresh Air series. Did I read correctly somewhere? These were based on mythology or legends? Tell me about
this. Well, there's two parts. The first four are based on nature. So there's one for each season. And I use natural sound. I live on a farm in Nebraska, a 150-acre farm.
Nice.
And I have microphones planted out in the forest, and I've recorded natural sounds ever since I could afford a couple microphones and a recorder.
Wow.
And I use natural sounds of, like, birds and thunderstorms and all that intermingled with the music. And so the first Fresh Air was about spring. The second was about fall. The third was about summer. And then, of course, each one has sounds of the seasons. The fourth was about winter, and that was the most difficult because there really are very few sounds associated with winter. So I made the sound with my mini Moog. I had a Moog, and I still have it, with whistling of the wind, like blowing through a door or something. And I tried to think of anything I could to help associate winter. Once I got those four done, it's like, okay, what next? I thought, okay, I'm going to do topics of some incredibly cool thoughts of man over the years. And so the first one I chose was about Johannes Kepler, the astronomer. In 1609, he had a concept. He was with Galileo, he's in that time frame, looking through telescopes. And, of course, it was very dangerous because the church was all against science at that time.
Yeah.
And so Kepler was doing this, and he was looking at the moon, and he mapped the moon, but he had to write it in an obscure way. And so he wrote it in a combination of Latin, Greek, and German. And I own the original translation of it, actually.
That's cool.
We found it, and I bought it. Actually, it was from the Catholic Church. I made a donation to them, and I was able to acquire the use of it.
Mm.
So I have put that in the liner notes of Fresh Air number 5. That's actually Kepler's writing, not mine. Fresh Air 6 is about Greek mythology. So I hired, actually, a couple of guys that were, like, head of classics at different universities, and they gave me the knowledge of various... I didn't want to use just the standard Greek myths.
Sure, right.
So we went into some more obscure ones that we could actually do, and I wrote the liner notes first about that, which, by the way, my liner notes are just as important as the music in my mind because it describes where the inspiration comes from. So I was able to get all this Greek mythology stuff going, and that's what Fresh Air 6 is about. I get to number 7, it's like, okay, what's 7 going to be? And then, just like I said, the number 7 has always been viewed as a mystical number. So yep. I wrote a number of things about the number 7. 7 stars of the Big Dipper, the 7 wonders of the world, the 7 colors of the rainbow is a big one.
Sure.
Various things like that. So, everything on Fresh Air 7 is about things of 7. Then we get to Fresh Air number 8, and now I was on this number thing, and if you turn it sideways, is an infinity.
Yes, sign. Of course.
Okay, I'm going to write Fresh Air number 8 about infinity. So I started choosing topics of infinity in mathematics, infinity in space exploration, infinity in, the sky, infinity, in anything I could come up with. So then, once again, I hired some very good professors to help lead me through what was behind some of these things. And so the liner notes, once again, reflect that. Anyway, that's kind of what the Fresh Air series is about. People ask me, why didn't you write a number 9? Well, take a look at Beethoven, and any major composers have written a 9th symphony usually die right afterwards. So it was a self-preservation deal.
Good. Well, that's a keeper, all right. That's Chip Davis, creator of Mannheim Steamroller, which will be at the Fox Performing Arts Center December 15th with tickets at kvcrnews.org/events. More with Chip just ahead. You're with 91.9 KVCR. I'm David Fleming with you for KVC Arts. Listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR. Online and on mobile devices at kvcrnews.org. I'm David Fleming. Let's continue now with music from Mannheim Steamroller in conversation with Chip Davis, creator of the group. Mannheim Steamroller will be at the Fox Performing Arts Center December 15th with tickets at kvcrnews.org/events. This is something that we alluded to earlier, that you having to start American Gramophone because you had a sound that didn't fit into any other category. Can you tell us about the process of trying to sell Fresh Air to the mainstream record companies and, you know, how this ended up then?
Sure. Well, I took Fresh Air around to a number of major labels, and because of my McCall contacts, I knew who a lot of presidents of these labels were.
Andy?
So I was able to get my foot in the door and actually go present it. But the problem with Fresh Air at that time was there was no category. It didn't fit into traditional retail market. And so I decided to see what else we could do. My business partner at the time was very connected to the hi-fi industry, and we started giving Fresh Air records out to hi-fi reps to use, like at the CES show,
right,
to show off turntables and high-end speakers and that sort of thing. Which, by the way, I still have friends in that industry that still go back and use Fresh Air 1 for that same reason.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah,
how cool.
It's really neat. I mean, it's still current,
wow,
you know, and we've made a 30-40 thing. 30 years of Christmas and 40 years of Fresh Air.
Mm.
And so we've made it in CD form and also pressed vinyl in a double album set on blue see-through vinyl.
Whoa.
Very cool looking product.
Whoa.
But it's one of those things where, you know, a good hi-fi system, it'll blow you away how, you know, the quality is.
That may be the next purchase I make there. Oh my gosh, wow. So Mannheim Steamroller then, I mean, it became something, it was a proven success then for quite some time then, but then you got to the Christmas album, and wasn't
this one... that was 10 years later.
Yeah, and wasn't that initially...
74 and 84. Yeah, so Christmas came on the scene, and I literally was in love with Renaissance Christmas music. You know, I was saying I played bassoon at Michigan, and
I transferred
the fingering patterns and ideas and everything over to playing recorder. So I bought an entire choir of recorders from Sopranino, Soprano, Alto, Tenor, Bass.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I liked to record with those and wanted to explore Christmas carols and add to them, like, the way they probably would have been performed back in their day when they were written. So I tried to historically use instruments, harpsichord. My dad was a harpsichord builder, ironically. And clavichord and, you know, some of those sort of instruments, the lute. And I started to do Christmas carols and take them back to what I thought they might have sounded like in the day they were created. Then from there, Christmas carols are in a form called a strophic form. And what that means is that there are verses that repeat. The thing that changes are the words, not the melody and the chords.
Gotcha.
So I'm faced with a Christmas carol that really is about 30 seconds long. And so what I had to start doing was start creating bridges that carried you to the next time it came back. And the bridge was about as long as the verse.
Ah.
So I had verse, bridge, and so forth until I could stretch it and build it in the Mannheim way, where it built and built and built, and like the volume thing got up and up because of the amount of instruments. By the time you got to the end,
you get that crescendo that implies the name.
Exactly.
Wow. You know, I never thought about that before in things like, let's just take God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. If you're singing it, if you're wandering the neighborhood going door to door, you feel like you're singing something different over and over. And I suppose you are, but playing it strictly instrumental without some sort of wonderful jazz improv going on, you have the same thing repeated.
Yes, without the words.
Oh, gosh.
You're stuck. So that's why I started creating bridges, and then also the orchestrations started to change and build as we went to create the steamroller effect.
Okay.
And if talking about the Renaissance thing, as you probably know, there are two versions of God Rest You Merry Gentlemen on that record. The first one is all with Renaissance instruments, the way it would have sounded when it was written, followed by then my rock and roll version.
Yes, it's a treat for me because, I don't know, I'm a certain amount of geek in me in both NPR and music.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, excellent. We'll be seeing Mannheim Steamroller perform in the area fairly soon. But tell me about one of the newest things to come out, if I'm not mistaken, the Exotic Spaces.
Yes, that's correct. I think of it, you know, as I said before, about the Ninth Symphony.
Oh, there you are.
Would be my Ninth Symphony. It is in the vein, from an attitude standpoint and emotionally, of a Fresh Air album. But Exotic Spaces, as the name implies, is about exotic spaces around the world. So, like, the first exotic space is Colombian jungle.
Mm.
So I used big drums and certain types of horns that you might have heard, like, just wild in the jungle. And the second one is the Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
Oh, wow.
And so I used instruments that probably would have been around the time of Nebuchadnezzar. So it has its own various, really back in time. And there's a voice that sings this really exotic, like, Eastern melody. There's no words, just ah.
Okay.
And it's cool. Then third track is Play It Blanca Belena, which is about whales. And I'm a freak for recording natural sounds, as you know.
I'm getting that impression.
I have two Navy-grade hydrophones to record underwater. And I've been, like, in Glacier Bay and various places where the whales are. And I've recorded the sound of a humpback whale. And I let it be the melody in this piece. And I wrote the accompaniment around the whale singing. And when you hear it, try to remember I did not edit where the whale comes in. There was a tempo it was doing it in, and I picked up the accompaniment, and it would come in and out just like it had been written.
Oh, my gosh.
So in the center, I just quit the accompaniment, and I just let it so you can just completely hear it clear on its own. And then the accompaniment kind of comes back in. It's a very cool thing, actually, with a live whale. Kind of goes back to, like, Fresh Air 3 with the cricket.
Well, that's something cool that I appreciated about any type of, well, especially, let's say, the Fresh Air series of records, is the natural soundscape that you incorporate into it. And that's...
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, it lends itself to the experience, and you can perhaps close your eyes and be surrounded by crickets, you know, maybe laying in a nighttime meadow, you know, who knows?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I've recorded a lot of this stuff in four-channel surround. Pyramids is another track.
Okay.
So I wrote with instruments that would conjure up the idea of a camel train going through the pyramids.
Oh, wow.
And number five is Andiamo, which is about a ship. A buddy of mine built a really big ship that could go quite fast. Andiamo means to get going. And so I wrote this because his ship was an exotic space. So I used, once again, sounds of the ocean and things. Number six is Panama Baby. I had and still have a very good female friend that's Panamanian, very bright young girl, graduated from Oxford, and she's really a cool female friend of mine for many years. And so I wrote a piece for her because she's an exotic space as well. And then number seven is I'm Whacked. You know, like you're whacked out mentally?
Yeah. Yeah.
It is really crazy. I have a sound that generates, I'm whacked, I'm whacked, I'm whacked. And so I use that for the rhythm, and it's about the exotic space in your brain when you sort of short out, something just overwhelms you and you can't think straight.
Okay.
We've all been there.
Wow.
Number eight is Exotic Space. It's the title cut, but it's number eight. And it is very gauzy and like as though you're floating through space.
Mm.
Number nine is called Wonders, and it's about wonders of the world. And it's like as though you were on a little train going from wonder to wonder at a chugga 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 kind of rhythm to it. And then Nikki, You're Such a Beach. It's about Nikki Beach, which is in Panama.
Okay.
Such a beach is spelled B-E-A-C-H. Steel drums and, you know, Panamanian instruments. And then 11 is Taj Mahal. And, of course, I used Indian instruments and tried to describe what I would think it would be like walking into Taj Mahal. And then number 12 is called Finally, and it is just, it might be the most beautiful piece I feel that I've ever written.
Ooh.
And once again, wrote that for the Panamanian girl. I got to see her. We'd been emailing each other, and we finally met up in Chicago at a convention she was going to, and finally, and that's what came to mind as I wrote this just beautiful piece about that experience.
My gosh, wow. And when is this going to be out?
Next spring.
Okay, yeah. Beautiful. That's Chip Davis, creator of Mannheim Steamroller, which will be at the Fox Performing Arts Center December 15th with tickets at kvcrnews.org/events. More with Chip just ahead. You're with 91.9 KVCR. I'm David Fleming with you for KVC Arts.
I was thumbing through the want ads in the Shelby County Tribune when this classified advertisement caught my eye. It said take immediate delivery on this 57 Chevrolet half-ton pickup truck. We'll sell or swap for a hide a bed and $35. Call 140-RING-2 and ask for Bob.
Just one more thing about Bill Freeze. What does he actually sound like? I mean, that is to say, C.W. McCall has this, I was thumbing through the want ads in the Shelby County Tribune, you know, this, you know, trucker kind of thing. Oh, I just outed myself there. So does he actually have that drawl?
To some degree.
Okay, okay.
Well, I tooled on east on County 12, turned right on the one-lane gravel road, and I parked in the yard, and a German Shepherd come out and grabbed on my leg. Then I knocked three times to wipe my feet. The dog let go, and the screen door opened. Bob come out and says, what do you want? Says, come see your truck. He says, follow me. Come on, Frank. Dog's name is Frank.
To some degree, he probably emphasizes it more when we're doing records like that.
Okay.
Classified when you're talking about.
Yeah, that's always been a favorite, actually, I have to say.
That's a fun, that's, yeah. His stuff is really falling off the log funny. I mean, we'd get him in the studio, and like he would write, we'd discuss over the phone if there are going to be 8-bar phrases and then 2-bar bridge or something like that. And we'd discuss the form, but I would write the music separate from him writing the lyrics. So we'd get in and record the music, and then he'd come in like the next day and do the lyrics. And we'd just sit there with our heads on the console laughing so hard because you couldn't believe what was coming out.
With that classified, for example, then, just to stay there for a second, I definitely want to go back to Mannheim, but just for that one, are you the one coming in on the guitar?
Oh, no, I was playing drums on it, actually.
Okay, okay.
Probably Ron Cooley, who plays guitar in the Steamroller as well. Still, after all these years, like I was saying, you know, I had several players that were also McCall and Steamroller at the same time. So, yeah, no, I had some really great guitar players. Sometimes I'd hire in, like, a banjo player from Chicago or something.
Okay.
But then we discovered we had a great banjo player near Lincoln, Nebraska here, and so he started playing on the McCall project.
Here, I'll go get the title and the can full of gas. I put a nail in the slot and fired her up. She coughed and belched up a bunch of smoke, and I backed her right through the hog pen into the yard. Well, Frank jumped in, bit my leg, and I beat him off the crowbar. He jumped on out, and the door fell off, and the left front tire went flat. I jacked it up and patched the tube, and Frank tore a piece of my shirt off. And then Bob come out and called him off, says, you better get on out of here. I went left on the one-lane gravel road, went 14 west and County 12, took 2 full quarts of 40-weight oil just to get her to the Conoco station. I pulled up to the regular pump, and then Harold Sykes and his kid come out and says, I'd seen better stuff at the junkyard, and where'd you ever get that truck? I said, that's a long story, Harold. I was thumbing through the want ads in the Shelby County Tribune when this classified advertisement caught my eye. It said take immediate delivery on this 57 Chevrolet half-ton pickup truck.
Okay, back to Mannheim Steamroller.
Sure.
Back to Mannheim Steamroller. Do you have anybody that you write with, or is it all you? Then an orchestra helps to realize it.
Yeah, no, I write it all myself. Like I was saying before, I went to the University of Michigan, was formally trained in classical music. I know how to draw 24-stave score and orchestrate, and, you know, a lot of times I figure it out on a legal pad.
Okay.
First, I draw like a line, and then I'll divide it up to like bars or phrases and label them A and B and A and C and, you know, that kind of deal. And then underneath it, I'll decide what instruments are going to play up to a certain point, and then under another line under that when something else is going to come in. So I sometimes just map it out like a graph, and then I use that as my map, and I indicate on the bar lines what's supposed to come in where. Sometimes it doesn't work that way, but a lot of times it follows the graph. So I map it out pretty much to exactly what I'm going to do, and yeah, I don't write with anybody. I actually never have, other than Bill for lyrics.
Sure. All right.
With Mannheim, I've always just written it all myself, and I don't depend on improvisation. Literally, everything is written out.
Oh.
Fortunately, I have players that can really read well.
Yeah. I've known, by the way, some brilliant players, but they can't improvise at all. It's interesting. I never would have thought that a person who could play so wonderfully could not give themselves the freedom. I'm sure there are many, many people who do, of course. But
well, you know, that's probably a unique trait, to be able to do both. Like in Nashville, they call them red musicians. I used to hear them say that. It meant they could read.
Oh, okay. They were red. Okay.
And, you know, a lot of times the guys that could read couldn't improvise, and the guys that could improvise couldn't read.
Yep.
So, you know, I've been fortunate to have these jingle players that could read music really well, but also I could give them, like, hey, here's a 16-bar phrase. We're just going to vamp. Do what you want to do.
Nice. Okay. Now, do you see Mannheim Steamroller as having opened the door for other groups like Trans-Siberian Orchestra would have to be the next biggest one? They're not a fair comparison per se, but it is a classical and good, loud rock accompaniment.
Yeah, it's more of a rock version. Yeah. Mine is like back to the classical Renaissance influences with rock and roll drums, bass, and keyboards, you know, underneath it. But it focuses more on the classical. Yeah, Trans-Siberian is more of a rock experience, you know, with fire pots going off and all kinds of crazy theatrics.
Right.
And stuff, but they're in their own niche. And yeah, I think I read somewhere where some of the ideas came from the way I started Mannheim Steamroller. Kind of was the initiative that they got going with.
Let's talk about this then. The Chip Davis cuts that are interwoven with the Mannheim Steamroller Christmas albums. Let's talk about the difference in that sort of thing.
I've written some original cuts and also some arranged cuts, the inspiration being my children. There's traditions of Christmas that I wrote for my daughter, Kelly, who's now 26, but she was about 5 then. There's a piece that I wrote, the lullaby was specifically for her. We did actually a vocal version of that Olivia Newton-John sang. I wrote that for my oldest daughter when she was little as a lullaby to help her go to sleep. Then my son, who's now 21, I probably wrote it when he was about 5. I wrote a piece called Catching Snowflakes on Your Tongue. His mom used to like to go out the front door here at our farm, and when it was snowing, big snowflakes, and go and try and catch them on your tongue. And he would run around, try and mimic his mom and do that. So I wrote a piece. It's up-tempo, and it uses a harp vamp and some different things. It gives the impression of running around in joy. So I wrote that for him. And then for my youngest daughter, who is now just went into college, she's 18, Elise, is I wrote a version of Feliz Navidad called Elise Navidad. The inspiration for that was we were in San Antonio doing a show, and Trisha came down with the kids and the band, and everybody knows the kids really well. It's like their kids. And so we were doing the riverboat trip on the Riverwalk, and I hired a mariachi band to play, and the mariachi band played in the middle boat, and they were playing Feliz Navidad, and they were singing it. Well, Elise was about 4 or something. She thought they were singing Elise Navidad. She got really embarrassed and hid under the table. So once I discovered that, I had to put it in the show.
Yes.
And back at one point in time, we used to do cabaret seating with tables, you know, in front.
Nice.
And then the regular audience behind. Trisha and the kids were sitting at a cabaret table, and we started playing Feliz Navidad, and I hired a mariachi band to come out and go around the table, and she crawled underneath the table again.
Beautiful. So not just Christmas albums in Going Beyond the Fresh Air series, but did I read correctly there are some Halloween-themed albums out there as well?
You're absolutely correct. There's Halloween 1 and 2, and I did pieces like Sorcerer's Apprentice where I followed the original score and orchestrated it just like it was written by Paul Dukas.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, once I stated the theme, I went into my Mannheim version of it and kind of get it going and rock it out a little bit. So there's a Halloween 1 and 2. Halloween 2 has some original pieces on it called the Rock and Roll Graveyard.
Oh, cool.
And it cooks, you know, and rocks right along. And You know, the thing with Halloween is what songs are associated with Halloween. Christmas, we have the Christmas Carol. But what is Halloween? And so I started thinking of these pieces like The Sorcerer's Apprentice would fit that mold. And so I put the stamp of Halloween on some of these great classical pieces so that they had a chance to be exposed to a broader audience.
Maybe it's all too typical, but did you include the toccata and fugue?
Yes, I have the Bach toccata and fugue. That was hard to play into the computer. I had to slow it way down. Back several years ago, I had a car accident, went through the windshield, and I lost the use of my right hand for almost a year. And now I've got the use of my thumb and index finger and middle finger. So I had to punch those things in basically a note at a time. You know, there's a step mode that's called in composing that you can push in one note at a time and you determine if it's an eighth note, 16th note, or whatever.
Mm.
So I played in, and it was very painstakingly slow, but I played in the Bach toccata. That's just one of my absolute most favorite pieces. Back when I was a kid, I'd say 14, 15 years old, I studied pipe organ with a famous concert organist in Portland, Oregon. And I got to play on an Aeolian Skinner 4-manual 32-foot pipes. And
wow.
It was a fabulous experience. And so I knew what pipe organ was supposed to sound like because I had heard him play, and I had the experience of taking lessons. So I was pretty well educated. That's what led me into doing the Bach toccata. And again, you know, it goes into the middle, and I started to rock it out.
That's incredible. I'm definitely going to be tracking that one down as well. That's Chip Davis, creator of Mannheim Steamroller, at the Fox Performing Arts Center December 15th with tickets at kvcrnews.org/events. That's just about going to wrap up another edition of KBC Arts. Thanks once again to Chip Davis and to Danielle Giudice Wallace of Arts Connection. Here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulock, Lillian Vasquez, and Jessica Greenwell. Music beds and themes heard on KBC Arts, behind us now, for example, composed and performed by Sean Longstreet. So thanks to Sean as well. You can hear past KBC Arts programs via podcast at kvcrnews.org/arts. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support.